Mike Flathers is Chief Technologist for Aspera Development Platforms at Aspera, now IBM, with more than 20 years of software development experience. Throughout his career, Mike has focused on enabling third-party technology integrations by creating innovative software solutions and APIs. For the past 10 years, Mike worked at Sorensen Media, where he led the development of Sorensen VCast, one of the industry's first online video delivery platforms, and Sorensen VRS, a leading video relay service empowering communication for the deaf and hard of hearing community. Please welcome Mike Flathers to the Cloud Developer Summit and Expo.
Oh, sorry, okay. So give me 1 second to resize this. You kind of switched here. Okay, this will do. Okay, so being that this topic was actually kind of chosen for me, I took the liberty to switch things up a little bit and not just talk about cloud object stores, but talk about moving data through those object stores, right? So, it's not just about getting the data, into an object store. It's also about, how do you get it there in the first place? And at Aspera, we have technology that really helps here. And as you'll see, I'll kind of point out some of this as we go through. So just as a quick introduction to the agenda, we'll do a little bit of a technical overview. I'll go a little bit deeper on some topics that I've heard so far, but we'll see how it goes, and we can adjust to the level the audience would like. Then we'll look at a couple of solutions, and then some use cases and integration strategies. Take a look at a couple of success stories as well, and then I've got a couple of demos here that I want to show. So I'm going to breeze through a lot of this, and you'll be happy to know I did take a lot of the marketing out of these slides. So tried to keep things somewhat generic, but still show you what Aspera does because it's very, very important. Okay, so here's the obligatory one, though. We move data. We move data really fast. So we try to move data at maximum speed, irrespective of things like distance and network conditions. And I'll go into a little bit of detail on how we do that. So we all know about some of these trends that are occurring with the big data explosion. 90% of the data today is unstructured, all different types of data. IP networks themselves have a lot of diversity to them. There's variable bandwidth rates. Bandwidth is increasing, right? But conditions vary quite a bit. And the one constant is that all networks are prone to degradation over distance. Okay, and there's a lot of global workflows being worked on right now, moving big data over WANs. We have geographically dispersed teams, and I mentioned couple of bullet points ago that conditions degrade over distance. And contemporary, TCP acceleration solutions aren't designed to handle this type of situation. So we have, cloud computing has kind of grown up over the last few years. In fact, I'll have some comments as we get into some of the Q&A with regard to some of the things that I've heard about, private networks versus private cloud versus public cloud and such. But we have kind of the standard, if you will, for object storage has been Amazon S3. We'll talk a little bit about the S3 API here and how that works, mostly because it's one that most people are familiar with. And then there's more choices coming on board now. We have with IBM, we have SoftLayer. We've had some excellent performance with our software through, and very, very pleased with that, and looking forward to further integration there. There's a bunch more, but we're no longer just niche markets, right? We have Netflix is doing a lot of transcoding. We have MTV, BGI. So our software actually crosses over quite a bit of each of the segments that this conference focuses on. let's just talk really quickly about some of the challenges with TCP and alternative technologies. So, you know, with TCP-based technology, you've got this acknowledgement for every packet that you send, right? So this is SYNAC thing going on. And what happens is with packet loss and latency, TCP has this window size that it starts shrinking down to accommodate to make sure that it can actually get an acknowledgement for every packet it sends. So even though you may have a good deal of bandwidth, your effective transfer rate, your effective bandwidth may be significantly less once once you have any packet loss or distance. And again, it's latency and packet loss tend to occur over distance. And we have some real performance numbers that I can show you in a little bit. There are alternative technologies. Again, I'm just quickly skimming through some of this, such as packet blasters and so forth, and caching and that kind of thing. But you know, these are often difficult to implement. They're difficult to maintain, and you don't get the same amount of the same performance that you'd get if you could just move the data at line speed. So, what do we do? Let me just jump back up and take a quick look at the graph on the right here. So you can see down in the back corner there, this is a kind of an on-land situation where you have very little packet loss, very little latency, and you can see the throughput for TCP is pretty good. You know, it's right up there at line speed. But as you move out to the bottom right corner, you can see that your effective throughput starts degrading significantly as that packet loss and latency gets greater and greater. So with our technology, we can actually push those packets, push that data, at line speed, and we can actually have an effective transfer rate that is basically your line speed minus any packet loss. Obviously, we can't make up for a packet loss that occurs, but you can actually see here that we can actually keep those speeds up to basically what your line speed is. There are a few things that we support here as far as security and so forth. I'll leave that as an exercise for you to take a look at when the slides are posted. Okay, so moving things into cloud storage. Okay, there's actually two major bottlenecks putting things in cloud storage. The first one is the WAN, right? You've got to get that data onto a cloud platform in the first place. And then there's the second bottleneck of actually writing to the storage itself, kind of what we call the last foot for local transfers. You might think that that's a piece of cake. Well, it is if you're using traditional technologies, but if you're using a high-speed transfer protocol like Aspera FASP, what happens is we can actually drive that data in much faster than traditional object storage APIs will allow you to push into object storage. Okay, so what we've done is we've put significant effort into making sure that we can get the maximum throughput in that last foot from the data center, from the cloud, into storage itself. And we'll take a look at a little bit about what we did there. So some of the challenges of storing big files in the cloud, cloud storage is designed to be scalable and distributed object stores, right? There, you have Google File System, S3, some Hadoop file systems. They're really optimized for for high throughput cases, right? So they're really good for high throughput access, and work very, very well for storing lots of files, okay, large numbers of files. But we run into some situations with industries like media and entertainment, where you have these very large files, and with these blob sizes pushing into object storage are quite often very small. And you may not think this is small, but in our terms, and especially in the media and entertainment industry, they are small. 64 meg, 128 meg. And what this means is that to put a 1 terabyte file into object storage, you might be transporting and reassembling greater than 10,000 chunks of data. Okay, it's a lot to manage, and these technologies, to the traditional ones, to get this data into cloud storage uses standard HTTP. So it has all of the issues that TCP itself has that I showed on the slide with the graphs. So it's very slow at distance, and a lot of people actually try and put stuff into cloud storage with a single HTTP stream, typically, in most of these cloud environments, you're going to be lucky if you can get, 100 megabits a second, even with, good bandwidth actually pushing into cloud storage, okay? So you're going to have that last foot that's going to be that bottleneck. And as I mentioned before, the multi-chunk API impedes workflows. It's very complex to work with. Okay, and I mentioned the media entertainment industry, these big data services do require high speed software to bridge that WAN gap. We need to move large files at full bandwidth, at capacity, and we need to overcome the WAN bottleneck and move files of any size. So if we take a look at how data might be pushed into cloud storage, the APIs are typically like I mentioned have you divide things into chunks, and we talked about the numbers involved here. Things like the S3 API does have a multi-part API where you can actually push chunks in concurrently and then kind of reconcile that at the end of the transfer. But again, it is the IO protocol is HTTP only, and it's slow over the WAN with TCP, relatively speaking, if you have high bandwidth. Security and access control, is only as good as the application. That is one thing that, having dealt with the media entertainment industry for many years now, one of the things that was an impediment at first with the cloud was security, right? So, and that's actually loosening up quite a bit. We're actually seeing that loosen up quite a bit. And what I always used to tell people, your security is only as good as your application itself, whether it be your local data center, whether it be cloud or anything. And it was a huge hurdle to overcome, but having some very detailed technical conversations with some of these CIOs and such at some of these media companies, we're starting to overcome that at this point. So let's go ahead and skip through here and take a look at these. So if we actually visualize this, so you can see this first bottleneck, right? We have just standard transfer, and we can actually kind of push through with some multi-part, and again with a single HTTP stream, we're going to get somewhere between 10 and 100 megabits a second. Using the multi-part API, we can actually improve that somewhat. In fact, there are tools that do that, things like CloudBerry, CyberDuck, S3 Fox. They'll actually use the multi-part API and push data in there and to get data in faster. But still, you're limited by the WAN here, especially over challenged networks. So if you look at what we do, we actually have our fast protocol that can actually move data into the cloud, hit an Aspera server, and then, like I said, we have this optimized pipeline for writing to object storage. It's a pluggable interface that we've written so we can actually write natively to every storage platform that we support. So we don't have a generic provider. In fact, it's really very, very interesting that we have a lot of people a lot of storage providers that say, oh yeah, we support the S3 API. Do you support multipart? Well, kind of, maybe, and it turns out that most storage providers don't actually support the multipart API and the S3 APIs that we take advantage of to get maximum throughput into storage itself. And as you can see, there's some of these that we support, on the right. And this effectively, gives us up to close to a gig. Into AWS, we can easily get 700, 750 megabits a second all the way through to storage. On SoftLayer, some of our preliminary tests, we're getting multi-gig in there. So we're doing very well here, and we're very excited, quite honestly, about the integration with SoftLayer as being part of IBM. Okay, and then, of course, you can get the data in there. You can have all of these services that you write on top of things. Now, one thing I want to point out here is we've talked about pushing stuff from remotely into cloud storage, and then some of these services can then operate on those files, if you will, on that data once it's in cloud storage. But those operations, even today, are typically copy or push the file from the remote source into cloud storage. When it's done copying, then operate on it like transcode. This is how all the major cloud transcoders and other similar types of services work. So just keep that in mind, because I'm going to show you something that I think is kind of interesting. So what does this mean? I already mentioned some of these numbers. This is just kind of a slide to kind of show some of the differences here in throughput. Okay, so a couple of success stories. One is UFC, another is Netflix. UFC actually uses our cloud services and our protocol to actually move move the data around for these live events that they do. And you know, Netflix actually used it for content ingest. What I'm going to do here is, I there's a lot of detail here. If you're interested, you can go take a look at it. What I want to do is show a quick video here on UFC, and we may cut this short for time, but let's take a look. Okay, that's a good one. That's a good comment to end on, I think. Okay, so let's go back here and whip through these, because I've got one more demo I want to show. Okay, so again, we've talked a little bit about some of these workflows. This is an example of the UFC workflow. Again, you can check out these slides in more detail online after the show. You know, Netflix, again, content from their content providers is actually ingested through Aspera technology into S3 actually. So it's direct to the cloud, direct to S3 storage. Okay, and here's kind of, you know, a quick look at a visual of the Netflix workflow. Fairly simple, right? So it's fairly simple, but the fact of the matter is we get. The content there much faster than they could otherwise, and has allowed them to actually handle that ingest for content providers. Netflix has been a great advocate of ours and has obviously given us permission to talk about the integration. Okay, so going to wrap up here. I pose a question. We've talked about moving data from a remote source into cloud storage and then operating on that once the data is there. So what if we could eliminate the need to store the data prior to operating on it in the cloud? So with that question, you know, what if we change the way we think about the need for applications to operate on files? What if we could do something like this, like push in without ever touching disk, push into a cloud transcoder and make it ready for playout so you can actually eliminate that initial write and maybe lazily write, you know, onto disk for archival purposes. So with that, let me jump over here, and I'm going to show you a couple of things. Okay, right here we have an elemental transcoder. This is actually in Portland, Oregon. Okay, so this is in a data center in Oregon. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to start this. You'll notice that it's going to take its feed from a local UDP port. Okay, so I'm going to start this. And you'll see here that it's waiting for input. You know, it's going to give us an error saying, hey, we don't have any network data. So now I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to SSH into that same box. I can type the password right. Okay. So So this is, again, keep in mind, this is in Portland, Oregon, right? So I'm going to start something we call Fast Stream. So what we've done, and I'm going to talk about this, you know, I think on the panel, there's a question that might be coming up, I think, that I'll talk a little bit more detail. So what I've done is I've just started the receiving side of this Fast Stream. It's going to provide that stream into the elemental transcoder, okay? Over here, I have a server, an AWS in Dublin, Ireland, okay? So from here, what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to start a fast stream, we call a fast stream sender, and it's going to actually send, in this case, an MPEG-2 transport stream. This could be a live feed off of a camera or whatever. We're going to actually push it to that server in Portland, Oregon, but it's going to feed directly into the transcoder without ever touching disk, and then we'll make it ready for playout. In this case, it's just on local disk. It could push to a CDN as well. So let me go ahead and start that. What we should see happening here is we should see this pick up over here. We hope. Okay, so there we go. I apologize for the resolution here. Okay, so you can see that it's actually feeding into that transcoder. Why is this so important? This is like a 6 terabyte file or something like that. It's a huge file, right? If I had to wait for that to transfer, right, there's lost time. What I'm doing here, as you can see, is I'm actually operating on that stream as it's coming through. Okay, so now with that, what I'm going to do is we'll go ahead and let's see. Let's reload this. And we should pick it up as a live stream. Okay, as a live broadcast. Give it a second to actually start up. And again, I'm operating off of a little MiFi device, and you can see the quality there. This is a 14 megabit file, folks. This is not a low data rate video, okay? So you can see the quality we're actually getting through here. Playout, HLS playout that's being pushed through that transcoder, never hitting disk, okay, until it actually hits the HLS content hits disk for playout. Okay? I will go ahead and by the way, this is segmented HLS, so there's a few different bit rates that we're actually producing here. I'll kind of leave it at that. Someone did mention data visualization and such. We do have we deal with a lot of data. Just as an example, I want to show you a little bit of World Cup data. This is just my kind of lame attempt at throwing a slide together. But for World Cup this a couple of months ago, we actually had 14,000 sessions that we ran through with a partner of ours. You can see the use case on our website. 2.7 million files. This is in about a week and a half or so. 26 terabytes of data, all into cloud storage. So all of that we have produces log files. This is some real time log analysis visualization that we've done to actually visualize what's in our log files. So with that, I really appreciate the time, and thank you very much.